Good afternoon. It is 19 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. 55 degrees under mostly cloudy skies on this Monday afternoon. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News for September 23rd. It looks like gill netters will not be watched by marine mammal observers next year. That's because there's no more funding for the National Marine Fisheries Service program, which gathers data on interactions between the animals and the fishing fleet. NIMS contractors just wrapped up a two-year observer effort in districts 6 and 8 in southern southeast. The agency had planned to continue with other gillnet areas next year, but that has been put on hold indefinitely, says Assistant Regional Manager John Kurland.
At this point, we do not have funding to implement the program next year. It's been kind of a tenuous situation for a while, and as I'm sure you're aware, federal agencies all over are facing cuts and making difficult decisions. So we still very much want to have observer effort to try to document the extent of interactions between the gillnet fisheries in southeast and marine mammals. But it's not looking like we're going to be able to implement the program next year. And beyond that, I honestly don't know. I think we're going to have to see how the budget situation unfolds.
The observer program around Petersburg and Wrangell costs roughly $1.5 million a year. The periodic monitoring is required for fisheries across the nation as part of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Without more funding, NIMS will have to work with the limited data it has so far in southeast.
If we are not able to do the observer program in the other areas in southeast, I think the best available information is going to be to take the data that we have from districts 6 and 8 and apply that to the other districts in southeast. And that may or may not be a good fit. You know, frankly, we'd rather collect the data in those particular areas because it's possible that there are differences, that there are more or less marine mammal interactions in some of those areas as compared to the Wrangell-Petersburg area.
NIMS uses observer data to help determine marine mammal populations and to classify fisheries. Southeast salmon gillnetting is currently classified as a Category 2 fishery. That means it's had occasional interactions that have led to the death or injury of marine mammals. An adult female humpback whale was found dead near the southeast community of Cake earlier this month. Kate Savage, a marine mammal specialist with the NOAA Fisheries Protected Resources Division in Juneau, says the dead whale was first reported around September 1st in Keiku Strait near Cake. It was later floated to an island outside of Cake, and Savage led a team performing a necropsy on the animal on September 11th.
You know, we did like a fairly complete exam, for example, of the abdominal cavity, and it was a large female, adult female. And so we wanted to see if there was pregnancy, and there wasn't. So we kind of had to wade through some pretty gunky, decomposed tissue, but we did see that it wasn't pregnant. And we also noted that there was some substantial bruising around the ventral grooves, which are, the sort of ventral part of the whale that expands when it takes in water prior to sort of filtering out, the prey matter.
Savage notes that it is too early to determine a cause of the whale's death, but says it looks similar to injuries other humpbacks have had after colliding with vessels.
It's really tough to come up with a definitive cause of death, but it seemed like there was probably some, it's very probable there's traumatic injury involved, and it possibly was a ship strike. But, we send samples off and we'll kind of wait until everything comes back before we come up with a cause of death. And even then, it wouldn't be definitive.
Another dead humpback was found off Cape Edgecombe near Sitka last month, but a response team did not perform a necropsy on that carcass. The waters around Cake are a popular feeding spot for the region's humpbacks during the warmer months. Boaters, fishing vessel crews, and visitors have reported an unusually high number of humpbacks in southeast this summer. And Savage says that she heard that from Cake residents as well.
There were two community members from Cake that were just so incredibly helpful on the necropsy. It was Lloyd and Adam Davis. They were just like wonderful. And one thing Lloyd told me is he'd never seen, like throughout his life in Cake, he'd never seen as many whales in that area.
Besides testing the whale near Cake for the cause of death, the necropsy team photographed the tail fluke to identify the animal and collected other samples to learn about its genetic background and food sources. Scientists estimate the numbers of humpbacks in southeast are rising 6 to 7% a year, while reported collisions between the protected marine mammals and vessels are increasing at nearly the same rate. Options for health insurance coverage can be pretty limited in Alaska for small businesses and the self-employed. That includes commercial fishermen, who make up a major segment of the economy. Some in the industry say that the cost and lack of access to comprehensive health insurance is a barrier to new fishermen and an ongoing concern for those already in the business. From Petersburg, Matt Lichtenstein has more on the story in part one of our Coast Alaska series on healthcare in Southeast.
So I have to disclose right at the beginning, I commercial fish part of the year, but this story wasn't originally going to involve me personally. I was just going to be the usual detached narrator. I was confident that when I was working on my boat, I was covered by the comprehensive insurance my wife and I get through her state job. In the course of researching this story, I found out I was wrong, but I'll get back to that later. First, here's a full-time fisherman.
So when I listen to the news these days, you know, they're all about getting small businesses going again. We want small businesses to thrive and go small business.
Petersburg's Lance Watkins works in multiple fisheries.
I know I'm a very small business as a owner of my small fishing business, but I know other owners of their very small businesses, and their business decisions are extremely restricted because they have to worry about the high cost of health care.
Watkins is a slim, healthy 36-year-old who's married with two young children. He says his family used to pay for a temporary policy, hoping his wife could find a job with benefits. When she became pregnant with their second child, he says they were unable to qualify for a regular insurance policy. They ultimately ended up getting insurance for the kids through the state-run Denali Kid Care program. Watkins was denied private insurance for himself because he's a dive fisherman. He eventually qualified for major medical coverage through the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association. That state organization sells insurance to Alaskans who can't get it anywhere else, but it's limited and it's not cheap.
The way I figure it is it's a $10,000 deductible and a $5,000 premium for me. I'm paying $15,000 a year before I get any type of benefit from the health insurance, but I realize that health insurance is there in case something extremely catastrophic happens, and that's why you pay it, you know. So, you know, I don't expect to go to the hospital, or I don't go to the hospital, I don't go to the clinic, I take care of myself, and if something catastrophic happens, that's what the insurance is there for, so I'm playing the game.
Watkins is playing it safer than many fishermen who choose to forego insurance altogether. According to a 2009 study by a healthcare reform advocacy group called the Small Business Majority, 32% of Alaska fishermen were not covered. 75% said they preferred having the choice of a private or public health insurance plan. For Watkins, the problem is systemic.
I wish universal health care could work, you know, because I'd rather pay a little bit more in taxes and not have to fight insurance companies to get approved for, you know, my medical claims.
The Obama administration's Affordable Care Act of 2010 did not include a public or government-funded option as many had hoped. However, starting in January, it will prohibit insurance companies from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions. That's an idea 84% of Alaska fishermen agreed with, according to the Small Business Majority poll. The new federal law will also help subsidize the cost of private insurance depending on income, but the rates are expected to continue increasing.
There's one direction that rates for individuals and families keep going who are not included in a group, and that's up, up, up every single year.
That's Petersburg Wrangell Insurance owner Sue Erickson.
What we've seen as the rates have changed year after year is families and individual fishermen opting for higher deductibles as a way to offset the monthly premium. But it gets to the point where you need to be pretty sick before the health insurance carrier is going to kick in.
Even Erickson wonders how long she'll be able to insure her half-dozen employees. She says it's critical to provide those benefits, but the cost is ridiculous for a small group plan like hers. Erickson's husband is a fisherman who's covered under her policy. She says it would be less expensive for him to get an individual policy, but she doesn't want him to risk changing insurance because of a pre-existing back condition. He's like plenty of fishermen who depend on coverage from another job or their spouse's group insurance. I fall into that latter category. I'm covered under my wife's insurance with the Alaska State Employees Association Health Benefits Trust. Erickson suggested I make sure I'm actually covered while I'm fishing.
Anyone, it wouldn't be just fishermen. There are some policies that would exclude work-related injuries for a self-employed person.
Should I be checking to make sure Hillary's state coverage covers me as a fisherman?
Absolutely, you should.
Huh, I didn't even think about that.
So my wife and I called the trust, and we were told that, in fact, our plan does not cover work injuries. Sure enough, page 73 of our benefits booklet says in no uncertain terms that the plan does not cover, quote, charges in connection with an occupational injury or illness. I had already planned on buying insurance for my crew member. Now I'll need to buy additional coverage for myself. United Fishermen of Alaska conducted a 2007 survey that found fishermen's options for both healthcare delivery and insurance were limited. Access is a particular problem for the many fishermen in more rural communities without a nearby hospital. According to the survey, Alaska's relatively small pool of potential customers and high healthcare costs discourage carriers from offering individual or small business insurance packages here.
I think it's a barrier to growing Alaska's small business base through the commercial fishing industry.
UFA Executive Director Julianne Curry knows the situation firsthand.
After I graduated from college and I was kicked off my parents' plan, I paid for my own insurance, and it was extremely, extremely expensive. Because I was self-employed and I worked in the fishing industry, it was really one of my only options. I always did it because I knew I was probably better off, but if it came down to me being able to make a boat payment or me having health insurance, I'd have to make that difficult choice. And I know that there's a lot of people in the fishing industry that have to make the choice between being able to afford health care or being able to afford their boat payment and their gear payments and their house payment.
Fishermen hurt on the job can apply for aid through the Alaska Fishermen's Fund. Velma Thomas is administrator for that program, which exists partly because fishermen in Alaska are not covered under workers' compensation law.
So thus, there's kind of that paradigm, you know, how does the commercial fisherman get coverage? So the fund is basically, we're not an insurance company, but we're an emergency medical fund to assist with medical bills after other private insurance that may be available to the fishermen.
For instance, injured deckhands can seek medical benefits through their skipper's crew insurance if they have it. By law, the Fisherman's Fund can only pay up to $10,000 per claim. Applicants can ask the program's advisory council for more, but there's no guarantee. In the 2012 fiscal year, Thomas says there were 670 claims, and the Fisherman's Fund paid out around $866,000 in benefits. Over the last few years, only about 11% of the applicants had health insurance. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And you can hear more reports on healthcare in Southeast Alaska during future newscasts. It's part of a series by Coast Alaska reporters up and down the Panhandle.